And you know how opposite you are of each other, at least in some areas. Not always the case, but it's the case for Liz and I. We are opposites in a lot of ways. I'm not going to talk about me, I'm going to talk about her. Okay, you can infer whatever you want to about me.
We already know about you.
Yeah, I know. Liz is gentle. Liz is compassionate. She's kind. And she's patient. Liz is a night owl. Liz thinks before speaking. And Liz loves to make lists. She has a list for every trip we go on, and she saves it. She has a mountain list. She has a beach list. She has a cold weather list and a hot weather list. We're going to Gatlinburg this week, and I'm guaranteeing she's going to pull out the mountain list. And now we have a new list, the Emma list. But we're opposites. I don't make lists when it comes to packing. And I usually pay the price. I'm looking everywhere. I'm trying to remember what I need. I get there and I realize what I forgot because I didn't make a list. But, you know, to me, it seems like making a list is a waste of time because I could be packing instead of making a list. Does that make sense? But it's also... You get me, Oscar? Or at least Oscar's on track with me. I'm a man of action. I don't want to sit around and make columns and bullets and stuff. I just want to do it, right? Just want to pack it and do it. That goes into lots of areas of my life. I just want to get out there and get busy, get my hands dirty, and I want to do it. That's my trailer. It's filled with mulch. 13 months it's been filled with mulch. Now, that doesn't seem to coincide with this idea that I'm a man of action. But at the time, I made up my mind. I was going to mulch the area between the sidewalk and the house. And I was going to do it before Emma was born. She was born the next day after I bought this. I didn't get it done, but I was a man of action, right? I went out and bought it. And now I'm going to pay the cost. Because that mulch has been sitting in my trailer for 13 months. I can't imagine what it's done to the wood in the trailer. I may have to replace the wood. It costs me to be that kind of person. I see this in my spiritual life as well, in the mornings especially. Liz is a night owl. I'm a morning person. So when that alarm goes off, sometimes I might have trouble getting out of bed, a little groggy, whatever. But once I get my feet on the ground, I'm like going. And I am anxious to get out the door and get to the office and get to work. I'm like SpongeBob in that way. SpongeBob loves to work. But because I'm a man of action, it's easy for me to skip one of the most important things I need to do every single morning, and that is to be quiet and to be still before the Lord, to read some scripture, to meditate, to pray, to listen to what God has to say to me for the day. It's easy for me to skip that. I'm being honest with you because of my action-oriented personality. So I have to work at it. I have to work at it. And sometimes I'm brushing my teeth. I'm like, okay, this is the last thing I do before I'm getting out of here. And I have to say, oh, no, don't do that. Stop. Sit down. Listen to God. Talk to God. Sometimes I do that at my house. Sometimes I do it once I get to the office. But it's very important for me, but it's something I have trouble doing. What about you? Are these spiritual disciplines of prayer and meditation and solitude, are they easy for you? Some of you, they probably are. They come easily for you. For me, not so much. I have to work at it. And Mark Enoch reminds us all the time in our groups that spiritual disciplines in and of themselves are not easy. Discipline is not easy. Discipline is hard work. But maybe this side of things is easy for you. It is not easy for me. And when I skip that time, when I go straight to action and I skip my quiet time and my prayer, I pay the cost. There is a cost to be paid for that. I miss out on what God has in store for me that day, what blessings He wants me to know about. I can easily miss out on what He's planned, what activities He's planned for me to bless other people that day, because I'm so focused on the task at hand and less focused on the people around me. So there's a cost to pay for people like me who are not disciplined. I have to push myself to have the quiet times. And I think morning times are very important. We're going to talk about a little bit more detail here in just a minute. I don't want to miss out what it means today for me to bless somebody. And I have to be spiritually attuned to God to know what He has planned for me that day. We talked last week about the blessing strategy of God. The blessing strategy of God is this: He blesses people so that they can bless the world. He did it with Abraham. This is the promise to Abraham: I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you, Abraham. Abraham, you are to bless other people because I blessed you. And your descendants are going to be blessed by me, and I want them to bless others. And continue all the way down to Jesus, who's in the lineage of Abraham. And this is the ultimate fulfillment of blessing the world, of God blessing the world, is through Jesus. But it doesn't stop there, right? Because we have been adopted into Abraham's family. And so we too are called to be a blessing to people because God has blessed us so much. That is the blessing strategy. And last week we saw it in Jesus, His encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well, right? Remember that? Jesus felt like He had to go to Samaria, and he felt compelled to go because He knew that the Father had a divine appointment for Him, waiting for Him at the well. And we saw that Jesus did these three things in this story, and really His whole life. He reached out. He went out of His way to find this woman. He brought restoration to her. He restored her hope, her faith, even her reputation in town. And she reproduced because she was blessed by Jesus. What did she end up doing? She blessed the whole town. So she was blessed to be a blessing. And the whole town came out, and many people put their faith in Jesus. This is the Jesus mission. This is the mission that every Christian is supposed to have. And we must have all three of these things in order to bless someone in the name of God. We have to reach out to them. We have to bring restoration to people who are broken. And we have to make disciples who make disciples who reproduce. That is the Jesus mission that we are all on. How do you bless somebody? Well, this is the acronym that we're going with this week, this week and next 4 weeks. We're going to begin with prayer. That's what we're going to talk about today. Next week, we're going to talk about listening. You can bless people by listening. And week after that, we're going to bless people by eating with those people, by serving them, and then sharing our story and listening to their story. That's the agenda for the next 5 weeks. Today, it's all about beginning with prayer because we are blessed to be a blessing. We've got to begin with prayer. Jesus knew the importance of prayer. And He knew the importance of praying in the morning Let me just pause here. I want to talk about praying in the morning a lot today. I am not trying to say that morning people are more holy or more spiritual than night owls. It's not what I've heard those kind of sermons. That the morning time is the most holy time of the day, and you got to get up before the crack of dawn, and you must. And that's not what this is about today. I'm talking about beginning your day with prayer, whether that's at 5 a.m. or 11:30 a.m. Whenever you begin your day, that's when I want you to, that's what we're talking about today, okay? So let's clear that up. I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty because you don't get up before sunrise and pray. All right. Jesus knew the importance of prayer. And even though he was God in the flesh, he was God who came to earth, he depended on prayer. He had to have this contact with God, this quiet time with his Father to listen. Because Jesus, he said over and over and over, I can do nothing without the Father. And he said over and over again, my will is to do my Father's will. So if Jesus had to spend time listening and talking to God to know how he was supposed to bless people, how much more are you and I should be dependent and need this time of prayer in the morning? Here's a couple examples in Mark chapter 1. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went back at Simon Peter. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Jesus replied, well, let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That's why I have come. So after prayer, Jesus is ready for action. He's not like me, right? Let's just get up and start doing something. No, we got to take the time to begin our day with prayer. Then we're directed by God what to do next, where to go, and who to serve. Here's another example. Jesus often, this is from Luke 5, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now, we know about this, about Jesus. If you've been a Christian very long, if you've attended church very long, if you read your Bible very much, we all know that that is really important. So here's the verse we're going to camp at a little bit on today, and it's Luke chapter 6. Before this, Jesus has had a busy day of healing people, casting out demons, healing sicknesses. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. And when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Jesus spent all night in prayer right before choosing the 12 men that he would spend 3 years with training to lead on the Jesus mission after he left this earth. That was a pretty important day when he was going to select these 12 men. He spent the night in prayer. We don't know what that prayer was. We don't have any record of what he prayed. Surely it was about this, about choosing which 12 men to choose to become his designated apostles, his representatives. Surely that's what he prayed about. What it looked like, I have no idea. Did the Father speak to him in an audible voice? I don't know. Did Jesus just kind of run through the list of names in his mind and somehow God said, yeah, that one, pick that one. I have no idea. But I believe that Jesus got discernment from the Father about who to pick. How do I know that? Who in the world would pick these 12 guys? I mean, these guys were a mess, right? You have several that are just common fishermen, one who's a political zealot, one who's a corrupt tax collector, and of all things, one of them is going to betray you and get you killed, which Jesus knew. And yet he chose these guys. That's not what I would have done. I would have looked for the guys who had the most leadership ability, right? The proven success, the charismatic personalities. Yes, there's a leader there. There's a leader there. There's a leader. That's not what Jesus did. And I think it was because he spent the night in prayer and God was informing him who to pick. And this was all about blessing the world. This is all about a blessing strategy. Because those 12 are going to be responsible for blessing the church. And the church is responsible for blessing others. And it was going to keep growing and growing. The blessing was going to continue through the whole world through these 12 guys. This was a big deal. Jesus didn't just jump into it. He took time. But why did Jesus need to pray? Jesus is God, right? Jesus is God in the flesh. Why in the world does he need to pray for direction? Have you thought about that? Even though Jesus was God in the flesh, we learn in the Bible that he chose to empty himself of a lot of his divine qualities and attributes. We like to think that Jesus knew everything on earth. While he was on earth, he knew everything. I believe that he chose to limit his knowledge, his foreknowledge. And he depended on the Father for that information. We like to believe that Jesus was all-powerful on earth, that he could do anything he wanted on earth, because he's God. I don't think that's the case. I think Jesus chose to limit his powers. He chose to set aside some of those awesome powers, and he depended on the Father and the Spirit. And whatever the Father and Spirit told him to do, they gave him the ability to do it. It's a mystery how Jesus is 100% man and he's 100% God. And it's okay to ask the question, why would Jesus need to pray? But if Jesus is God in the flesh and Jesus needed to pray and ask for guidance, how much more do I need to pray and ask for guidance and depend on God? It would be foolish of me and you to begin our day without praying. And those mornings when I skip it, I am a fool. I have available to me the God of the universe who wants to bless me and who wants me to show how to bless other people. He wants that. That's his desire. And when I skip that process, I am being a fool. It's foolish for me to pray only when I'm angry, or only when I'm in trouble, or only when I'm in pain, only when I'm in danger or I'm lonely. That's foolish. Yes, we pray during those times. That's not foolish. But to skip the morning prayer, whether that's at 4 a.m. or noon when you begin your day, that's foolish. I have a couple of challenges for you and for me today. Challenge number one is, of course, to begin your day with prayer. You and I need this. We're dependent on it. We need this so that we will know how God wants us to bless the world. Number two, pray for divine appointments. Pray to God and say, Lord, I want you to interrupt my schedule today. I want you to interrupt my task list. I want you to let people walk through my door. I want to meet people where I go. And I want you to set up some divine appointments. Somebody that you want me to bless today. Please, Lord, send somebody my way. Maybe it's in the grocery store and you see a mom having a really difficult time with a screaming child. Maybe it's the checkout lady at the checkout counter. Maybe it's your coworker or one of your customers. Who does God want you to bless today? Maybe, oh, this is weird, students. Maybe it's your teacher. Maybe God wants you to bless your teacher. Who does God, Lord, who do you want me to bless today? Give me a divine appointment. Something that you've set up. And give me the eyes to see that appointment when I come across it. Because so many times, if I'm not praying, not just in the morning, but kind of all day long, continually, I will miss those divine appointments. I will just blow right by them because I'm on the phone when I'm checking out or something, you know, and I'm not even making eye contact with that person. And that could be the person that God wanted me to bless today. So we pray in the morning, but we pray continually. Divine appointments, Lord, send me, send me, send me, send someone to me. I want to bless somebody today in your name. So we pray for that. And a third challenge is we have to expect it. We have to pray expectantly for God to send us these divine appointments. You know what the ironic thing is? You don't know who God wants you to bless until you start blessing them. When you intentionally try to bless the people that God puts in your path, then you will recognize if there's one person or two people that He has intentionally put in your circumstance, put right there. But until you start blessing them, you won't recognize it. What does that do to us in our day? If we carry that with us all through the day, how are we going to be? Man, if we bless everybody, no matter if God calls us to them or not, what a day that is. What a difference that would make in our lives if we intentionally just started blessing people. This last week, I was praying this prayer one morning. Lord, please send a divine appointment to me. Please, I'm here. I was sitting in my office, and it's easy for me to, you know, it's not just easy for me to skip prayer, just get right to work. It's easy for me to stay at that desk and to do my reading and to, you know, prepare my sermon and do all this other stuff. It's easy for me to just stay there, isolated from the world. I even brought my lunch that day, and I ate it right there at my desk. But as I'm eating, I feel God's Spirit doing something inside me. He's saying, you pray for a divine appointment today, but you haven't left the office yet. A lot of times I like to take my laptop, my books, and I like to go to a restaurant or a coffee shop and just hang out so I can get out of the office so I can meet people and be with people. So I felt like God was saying, get out of the office now. So I got up, took my iPad and a couple of books, started walking out of the office, and I'm praying the whole time, okay, God, you must have something, somebody for me, because you're bugging me about this. So there's three restaurants within walking distance. I have a McDonald's, a KFC, and a Wendy's. There's four. There's a honey baked ham. So I was just kind of walking generally in that direction, praying, okay, Lord, one of these restaurants, I know there's somebody at one of these restaurants you want me to bless. And it may be I just listen to them. Right? Maybe I sit down and eat with them. Maybe I serve them somehow. Maybe I share my story with that person. I don't know what it is. So I'm walking, I'm praying as I'm walking, and I hear voices behind me. And I turn, and it's an old friend of mine riding bikes with a new friend. So we got together, and we started talking. I said, where are y'all going? We're going to McDonald's. I said, I am too. Can I join you? Yeah. So we went over there, and I got a tea, and they got chicken nuggets or whatever. And there was a couple things that were obvious to me at that point. One, God set this up. This was a divine appointment that I had prayed for that morning. Number two, my friend, the one who I thought was the divine appointment, would not make eye contact with me. You know, there's a little video games on the McDonald's table. This person was turned and talking to me, but not really looking at me. And I thought, okay, Lord, what's going on here? I thought this was my divine appointment for the day. She's turned off. She obviously is uncomfortable talking to me. So the third thing I noticed was her friend. Her friend was looking directly at me in my eyes when I spoke. And he was asking questions. I thought, oh, this is my divine appointment today. So we started talking. I started listening. I really listened to what he had to say while his friend was playing the video game thing, right? Find out he's out of work. He needs a job. So I talked to him about Hope Works. He didn't know about Hope Works. I gave him the website. I got his contact information so I can, let me send you some stuff about Hope Works, right? I don't know what God's going to do with that. But I know that was my divine appointment for the day. And maybe I blessed him simply by being an older man who took the time to carefully listen to him. Because that is in short supply. I don't know what God's going to do. So I encourage us, I'm encouraging myself too, to pray every morning for your divine appointment from God. Ask him to open doors to opportunities to bless somebody. And ask him to open your eyes so that you won't miss it. We are called to bless people. And we absolutely must begin with prayer. Now, I got to warn you, it's costly not to do this because you will miss the blessing that God has in store for you and everyone else. But it's also costly if you do this. If you pray consistently every morning for God to give you a divine appointment for the day, somebody you can bless, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you some energy, and it could cost you some money. So there is a cost involved, either way. God calls us to be a blessing. Maybe it's listening to someone. Maybe it's sharing a meal with someone. Maybe it's serving that person. Maybe it's telling your story and listening to their story and sharing the story of God. These are simple, five simple missional ways that we can bless people when we begin with prayer. Are you up for it? And this is not a hard thing, right? Just asking to start your day, whatever time that is. God, give me a divine appointment. Open the doors and open my eyes. We can do this. We can do this. Again, this lesson is not about guilt. Oh, you're not praying enough. You're not getting up early enough. It's not that at all. I want to encourage us to be a blessing to people. And if we're going to be a blessing to people, we must be like Jesus and begin our day with prayer. There's a song I want to sing now. This is an oldie, but it's a goodie. And it fits so well with what we talked about today. Can you sing it with me? Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray. Melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul to save.
Give me a divine appointment today, Lord. One soul to bless.
Father God, we give you thanks that we are the result of that blessing strategy you started at the beginning of time, that you bless people in order that they may bless others. And that's what we want to do, God. We want to be a blessing to people. We want to take the blessings you've given us and pass them on and bless others. And hopefully, prayerfully, we ask that those people come to know you as a result of the blessing that we give. Come to put their life in your hands and to trust you with their life and with their afterlife. Help us, Lord, to be disciplined, to simply pray. We pray this through Christ's name. Amen.